This is More in the Morning on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
There's been an awful lot of unrest over the last year, maybe even more than that, about grocery retailers, but almost all of the attention has fallen on Loblaws. I guess because probably two reasons. One, they're, you know, the biggest. But the other aspect would be that Loblaws' public image was always Galen Weston. And back in the day, that was sort of a sweetheart deal. You know, he had a cardigan sweater and he looks like Mr. Average Next Door guy from a 1950s sitcom. And so to have that person as the face of Loblaws and then to have Loblaws seen as some kind of a grabalicious, inflation-driving denier of food, you know, it was a good target to go after Galen Weston. And it worked in the end because Galen Weston stepped away. He's now the chairman of the board and still probably principal shareholder, although I think both of his parents are still alive. But he is no longer running Loblaws, nor is he the image of Loblaws. But now some people have decided to not necessarily take their revenge, but initiate a bit of a shakedown on Loblaws. There is a proposed boycott of the stores. And the boycott effectively is for one day, but some people are saying they're going to do it for the full month. And then there was the other initiative, which was to steal from Loblaws for one day. Milton resident Emily Johnson is the organizer and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I framed the protest somewhat, but I'll let you do so. What is it you're trying to say with this protest?
I mean, ideally what we'd like to do, and to correct you, actually, it is for the entire month of May that we're looking to boycott Loblaws stores. The idea is to be sending a message to the retailer that, you know, enough is enough, and we do not want to be paying exorbitant prices for groceries anymore.
Now, why only Loblaws? Because, you know, one person I was talking to said, we really think we would like to drive people toward independent suppliers. I mean, if you boycott Loblaws, you're still going to need groceries. So you're just going to have to go to one of the other giants.
So Loblaws does own the largest market share out of all of the big five grocers. They also operate in a lot of areas in the country which are food deserts, where Loblaws is your only option. And our group has done a lot of education around alternatives outside of the big five. There's a user who had created altgrocery.ca, which actually maps out different alternatives across the country, including in the territories up north.
Okay, so what convinces you that Loblaws is actually gouging buyers?
I mean, we had some documents leaked to our sub, which indicates a number of very interesting price markups that just really don't make sense, especially for a store like No Frills, where it's supposed to be No Frills. Why is there a 54% markup on butter?
Let me ask you about the fact that you're running a GoFundMe campaign. What is it you're raising money for?
So ideally, we are looking to secure a lawyer and retain a lawyer so that we're able to be, you know, properly advised when we are discussing our demands with Loblaws. We actually are in talks with the Loblaws PR head, who is trying to arrange a meeting between Purbank, Loblaws CEO, and myself, you know, to discuss further.
Okay, but why would you need a lawyer for that? I mean, you know, the boycott is not illegal.
The boycott itself is not illegal, but we want to ensure that everything we are doing is legal. And I mean, Loblaws is a huge company. We want to be sure that we're protected as well. We're just ordinary people.
If you do not end up having to pay a lawyer, what happens to the GoFundMe campaign?
The GoFundMe will be donated to the Breakfast Club of Canada.
Okay, good to know. And I wonder, you know, you said that you had a sort of a list of demands. So what is it you're asking of Loblaws?
We're asking them to sign the Grocer Code of Conduct. We're hoping for no further retailer-led price increases for 2024, no further increases to dividends, increased cost transparency, so clearly identifying items that have undergone shrinkflation. We'd like a commitment to affordable pricing, so price caps on essential grocery items, an end to price gouging with costs quickly reflecting market conditions. So when food inflation and inflation cools, we'd like to see those prices cool as well.
Thank you for this.
Of course. And thank you so much for having me.
Emily Johnson is a Milton resident, and she is organizing the boycott. The I think it's Reddit page has 56,000 members so far. You know what? We've got enough time here, and I imagine some people got all roiled up in listening to that conversation in one way or another. So you can give me a call if you'd like to weigh in on what you just heard at 416-872-1010. This is independent of, and nobody really knows, that Steal from Loblaws campaign, and I've declined to give out the date because we don't need to give it oxygen, but it may just be sort of an agitprop thing where somebody made a poster and they have no intention of stealing from Loblaws and they really don't care if you do either. But there is a one day that was set aside, go and shoplift at Loblaws. And if nothing else, I guess that's going to be a boon for security companies, because I would imagine if they don't have security guards that Loblaws will go out and hire one for every single one of their outlets for that one day. But the woman we just talked to is organizing a month-long boycott of Loblaws. She's very articulate in all of this. And I do think that there has been considerable shenanigans in the grocery retail industry. But I'm also not sure that Loblaws is completely to blame for all of the greed. And I'm not convinced that a month-long boycott is necessarily going to lead to much. Sandra, hi. What do you say?
Good morning, John. Here's the deal. You vote with your wallet. You don't have to do a boycott. You just don't shop there. The reason why I shop, and Jerry Agar spoke on this yesterday, he shops at a certain store because it's convenient. It's on his way home. The reason why I shop at my store is because it's right across the road from me. I could go to a different store and save $3 on maybe 5 grocery items. My legs can't do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, Sandra, is that I think most people go where it's convenient. I mean, I shop by foot or on my bike. So we have Farm Boy, and then we have a sort of a diminished Loblaws. I don't even know what they brand it as, but there's Young and St. Clair. It doesn't have a lot of selection, but I go there most days. And then once in a while, I'll hop in the car and go to the Loblaws mega store at Bathurst and St. Clair. But still, I'm going to Loblaws because it's close by. Also, I don't have this animus for Loblaws that a lot of people seem to have. Mind you, we've all had the same experience where you've been buying stuff often without even pricing it. And then you reach into the refrigerator and you go, $7.99 for a pound of butter? Are you out of your mind? Ray's calling. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. Nice talking to you.
Nice to have you.
I live in the Scarborough, St. Clair area. My local Loblaws store is like a 4-minute bicycle ride or a 10-minute walk. I go there every day. This is where I buy without feeling get ripped off. I buy 2 daily newspapers. I buy my beer and my groceries. There's always stuff on sale there. I never say I'm pissed off with you. I go there every day, and nice people there. I'll say no more. Have a
nice
day.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Good to have you. Last word goes to Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I think it's kind of ridiculous. I'm a purchaser for a business, and I mean, when a price is too high, I just go somewhere else. Not really a big deal. And if you live somewhere where you can't go somewhere else, then I guess you have to suck it up.
Thanks a lot, Jacob. That was an interesting point that our guest made, though, where she said that there are what they call food deserts. And often that happens in poor neighborhoods, but it happens in rural areas where you have no choice. You got to go to the major grocery store there. And I wish I could remember the name of the town, but we were talking about a town. It's along the lake toward the east on the way to Prince Edward County, and they lost their grocery store. And the grocery store signaled that it burned down, and they signaled they're not going to build a new one. And everybody said, yeah, but the nearest grocery store is 15 kilometers away. And they said, yeah, well, we're not in the business of, we're not obliged to open a grocery store.